Well, let's just clap our hands unto him and love his name. If you're glad for grace tonight, give him all the praise and the honor and the glory. Hallelujah. 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 What a wonderful God. How blessed we are. Praise God. Love the presence of God in this house tonight. And God is so wonderful to us to visit with us by his presence. We are so thrilled and delighted to have Brother Zach Wells with us tonight. We appreciate his mom and dad who have done a wonderful work up in Vincent over on the mountain. And also his wife's folks, the Wilbanks there in Eber. Well, the church formerly known as Eber. Now they've turned into Cornerstone in Cullman. And we're believing God that they're going to have an explosion there and fill up that beautiful new building. Brother and Sister Wells have been traveling around in California and in Texas and just stepping out in faith, doing the work of an evangelist. And I hear good reports, and they are the proud parents of a brand new baby girl. And Sister Wells is not quite up to traveling around just yet. She's recouping, and the baby's about 8 days old, 9 days, something like that. Yeah, so we're brand new. And congratulations on that. We are so glad to have Brother Wells in the house tonight. I want him to just open up the Word of God and his heart and tell us what the... Let's stand together. And I want you to extend your hand toward him and pray for his life and his ministry and his house as he comes tonight.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Isn't God good? Praise the Lord. Amen. I like what I feel in the house tonight. Amen. I like where people praise God. And the Bible says you're supposed to praise him just because. Not because you feel like it, not because it's what everybody else is doing, but just because he's worthy. Amen. Praise God. It's good to be here tonight. Amen. Thank you to Brother Sutton for the invitation to come. Up to Brother Sutton for a long time. Amen. A fantastic preacher. Amen. He preached a message. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Sorry, bro. Amen. He preached a message several years ago at Alabama Men's Conference that I've never forgotten. His title was, "I'm Doing a Great Work. I Can't Come Down." Amen. I put that in my life a long time ago in several places in my life where I could have got off. Amen. I remember that sermon. I'm doing a great work. I can't come down. Amen. You remember preaching that? Amen. Amen. Fantastic preacher. And good to be here tonight in this great church. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me quickly to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, and I'll start reading at verse 41. 1 Samuel 17 and 41. My wife sends her regards. She couldn't be with me tonight. Amen. My little baby girl. Amen. I'm very sleep deprived, so if I fall asleep, just throw something at me. Amen. 1 Samuel 17 and verse number 41. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." So up until now, the Philistine is doing all the talking. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. And I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." Then David said this day Everybody say this day. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Amen. Now you've heard this story preached a million times, but just stay with me. And I want to preach from this thought. Hey, devil, shut up. Look at your neighbor and don't call him a devil, but say, hey, devil, shut up. Amen. You'll understand that better by and by. Let's pray together in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you to move in this house tonight. We want you to touch us in a deep way like we've never felt before. Help us to walk out of here empowered in our role in your kingdom. And God, help us in Jesus' name to get what you have for us to have. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Praise God. Samuel is disappointed. Israel had pressured him into picking a king so they could be like everybody else. They weren't satisfied with just doing it God's way, and they said, we want to be like all the other people around us. We want a king. And so God, against his better judgment, gives them a king. His name is Saul. He's head and shoulders over every other man in Israel. He's strong. He's courageous. He looks like a king when you look at him. He's got strong shoulders and a broad back and a strong countenance. And he's the kind of person that you just like to follow. Amen? Amen. Even in the world today, we statistically elect big, strong, looking, tall men. Most of our presidents, except for George Bush, the last one, amen, have been well over 6 feet because we are drawn to people that look like they can lead. And so when God gave Israel a king, he gave them exactly what they were looking for. They wanted somebody strong. They wanted somebody that had the effect of a king. And so God anointed Saul to be the king. And at first he did well and everything went just right. But finally, when God rent the kingdom away from Saul, and that's another message that we'll get at another day, Saul has lost his destiny with God. He's lost his future. God has rent the kingdom away from him. And so Samuel is distressed and he's distraught and he's wondering, what do we do now? God, are we going to get another king, or are we going to go back to what we want to do? And God said, Samuel, get a horn of oil and arise and go to Jesse's house. For among his sons, I have chosen me a king. And so Samuel gets his oil and he marches down to Jesse's house. And when he gets there, he's got 7 sons and he lines them up before him. And he said, here they are, Samuel, pick which one God says is the king. And so the first one steps by, and he's strong. He's got wide shoulders and a big, strong looking face. He looks like Saul looked. He has the same effect that Saul had. And the Bible said, Samuel said to himself, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. He looks like the last one. He looks like the one before him looked. He looks like he can do the job. But the Holy Ghost said, not that one. And then the next one comes. Same deal. He looks like a king. He ought to be the one, but it's not the one. And finally, when they've all passed, Samuel desperately said, exasperated, is there any more? And Jesse said, there remaineth yet one. But he's not the one you want. He's young. He's a sheep keeper. He's a musician, for God's sake. He's weird. My brother, I can't play the radio. My brother's a fantastic, phenomenal musician. And I remember growing up, he'd be sitting there plucking on that Rickenbacker guitar. And I'd say, hey, let's go play baseball. Zane, I think I'll stay here and play my guitar. And it doesn't click with a guy like me. That's why I can't play anything. And musicians are weird. They're out there. And David is that kind of guy. He makes, when you get in his prayer, when he just kind of makes you uncomfortable, you know, playing his little harp. Samuel said, we won't sit down until he gets here. And when ruddy little David came crashing in the house, the rules of the road had changed. Because he didn't look like a king. He didn't sound like a king. He didn't have the build of a king. But God said, arise and anoint him, for this is he, because the Lord seeth not as man seeth. When you look at me, you might see a backwoods country boy from Alabama, but that's not how God looks at me. I want to preach to somebody tonight. It's not up to what your family says. It's not up to what history says. It's not up to what society says. You can be whatever God wants you to be. And Samuel takes that horn of oil. I'm going to get there in a minute. And David kneels before him. And Samuel peels the lid off of that horn of oil. And David kneeling before him. And the Bible said that Samuel anointed him king of Israel. He said, David, you're going to be the next king of Israel. And that oil begins to flow down his head and on his beard and onto his shirt and down onto his breeches and down onto the ground. And from that day forward, the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Amen. He didn't just get it for one weekend. He didn't just get it at one service in youth camp. But there was something that happened to David when he knelt before Samuel. And he said, I don't know what all this is going to be. And I don't know where all we're going. But something has happened to me. Hey man, you need to get yourself up an encounter with God that'll earmark what you're going to be. You don't need to just float through life and have a good time. You need to get an encounter that puts a mark on you. That when the Holy Ghost, that when we look at you, they say, I don't know what happened to that boy. I don't know where he got what he got, but something's different. It was his. You're going to be the king, David. And everywhere he went, from that day forward, he can still feel that oil. And he can still remember that old prophet putting his hand on his head and saying, you're going to be the king. When he was running from Saul like a flea on a dog's back, he didn't feel like the king. When he was hiding in caves, running for his life, he didn't feel like the king. But he could go back in his dreams, and he could open the door to that encounter. And he could say, I don't know when, and I don't know how, but one day, I'm going to be the king. You need to get an encounter with God that when you get in your closet at night and you begin to pray and things aren't looking just right and everything's not adding up, you can say, I remember a day. I remember a time when the anointing came on me, and I don't know when it's going to happen and I don't know how it's going to happen, but something is going to happen. It's mine. So from that day forward, David's anointed. He's still the annoying little brother. But he's anointed. Brother Sutton, he still don't look like a king. But he's anointed. He still don't walk like a king. But he's anointed. So we skip on down a few years. And the Bible says that David's brothers went to war with Saul at the Valley of Elah. Israel's on one side of the valley, and the Philistines are on the other side. And the Bible said they've been there 40 days. And Jesse sends David down to the battle to take his brothers some raiment and some cheese and wine and all that stuff. And when David gets there, his brother meets him, and listen to what he said. He said, "What about those few sheep?" Isn't it funny how people want to, when you're anointed and when you're called, while they got a giant screaming at them, they're worried about your few sheep. I mean, they got a 10-foot giant hollering at them, and they're couched down behind rocks and in bushes, and you come up on the scene and they're worried about your sheep. Such is the price of being called. And he gets there, and David walks up and talks to his brother, and his brother says, what about your sheep? What about, you know, well, I know the naughtiness of your heart. And all of a sudden, a shadow looms across the valley. And everybody darts for cover. Men hide behind rocks and duck down in the caves. And all the way across that valley, a voice bellows out across, "Send me a man that we may fight together. And if I defeat him, you'll be my servant forever." 40 days. 2 times a day. Morning and night. Goliath challenged Israel. And Brother Sutton, he wasn't just challenging their manhood. He wasn't just challenging their ability to fight. He was defying their future. And I've often wondered why Saul didn't fight Goliath. He was head and shoulders over every man in Israel. He was almost 7 feet tall. He was a fighter in his own right. Why didn't he fight Goliath? I'll tell you why. It's because he didn't have a destiny anymore. God had rent the kingdom out of his hand. He don't have anything to fight for. I don't care if he takes y'all. It's not my kingdom anymore. Go ahead and beat us, Goliath, because I'm not going to be the king. And all of a sudden, David walks on the scene, and everybody else has heard that challenge 80 times. It's going to get better in a minute, I promise. David hears it once. And he said, listen what he asked. He didn't tell him, "I'll fight him." He didn't say, "Why ain't anybody fight?" He said, "What is to be done to the man that beats him?" It's not even a thought in David's mind. He's not even worried about the battle. He's worried about the prize. Why can a 17-year-old boy look in the face of a 10-foot tall giant and say, "What is the prize for killing him?" It's because he still had a voice in his ear that said, "David, you're going to be the king." And this voice is saying, "There ain't going to be an Israel, and you can't be the king without an Israel." Come on, somebody. You got to get something in your spirit that says, "I can have what God wants me to have. I can be what God wants me to be. I can have revival in my family. I can live for God. I am who God says I am." David had something to fight for. "I'm going to be the king of Israel. And I don't care how big you are. And I don't care how ugly you are. And I don't care how bad your breath stinks. You are a liar." Think of the arrogance of David. David wasn't a big man. But when you drew David in the fight, you died. Why? Because he was anointed. He had a destiny. Somewhere he caught a hold of something that God said, I'll give it to you. And he said, okay, I'll take it. I'm going to tell you why some of you get beat up every week and you drag yourself back into church on Sunday morning and the pastor has to inject stuff in you and pump you back up and get you all feeling better. It's because you haven't caught on to what God said you could have yet. And the devil said, you can't have that. You can't live for God. You can't die. Hey, devil, shut up. He's not just defying your present. He's defying your future. You're not going to be the king. You can't be what God wants you to be. Hey, devil, shut up. The Bible said in 2 Peter to be sober because your adversary, the devil, is like, not is like, not just a lion, a roaring lion. One day I'm going to go to Africa and I'm going to go hunting. And I've read countless thousands of stories about Africa. And one of those stories tells about this pride of lions. They surrounded this camp of natives and a couple of hunters that were there. And the guy wrote the story that the entire night, that pride of lions, they didn't stay in one place. It'd be two or three over here and four or five over there and two or three over here. And said every time they'd try to get away, those lions, when they start coming this way, they'd roar over here. And then they'd turn and try to go this way and they roar over here, and then they turn and try to go this way, and they roar here until finally they're just stuck. And you can't go this way because there's a roaring lion over there, and you can't go this way because they never saw the lions. They just heard them. And every time you try to attempt something for God and you say, Brother Sutton preached faith tonight, and I got a hold of it. I'm going to try to step out, and you go and you get ready. And the lion roars. You've been there before and you made that mistake. Look at there. You can't do that. You look at your background. Look where you came from. And every time you attempt to do something with God, you hear that roaring lion. You feel a call of God on your life and you come tell the pastor. And then the next week it's hell in your home because the devil's trying to keep you from getting to your future. He's not concerned about your past. He's not concerned about your present. He's concerned about where you're going. And he tries to keep you here. You can't try that. You can't do that. You can't live for God. Look what your daddy was. Your dad tried and he failed. Your mom tried and she didn't make it. You can't do that. And if you'll let him, he'll keep you for 40 days, two times a day, crouched behind a rock, worried about your future. What am I going to be? If I can't be that, what am I going to be? Well, you're going to be my servants, Goliath said. And Brother Sutton, they are quite positive that that is going to be the outcome. Because they don't see any way of defeating Goliath. And Goliath was formidable. Don't get it in your mind that this was some little pipsqueak standing out there saying, you can't have what God says you can have. This is a big dude. Most biblical historians say he was approximately 9 to 10 feet tall. His weaponry weighed over 400 pounds. His shield was so big that he couldn't even carry it with all the other stuff he carried. He had a man carry it for him. And the Bible said he was a man of war from his youth. And Saul said, you're but a youth, David. How come he got to start when he was a youth? And I can't. How come Goliath, it's okay for him to be a warrior from his youth, but I got to wait till I grow up? And old David comes on the scene. I bogged down. I got to hurry. He said, what is to be done for the guy that kills this dude? And one of the guys said, well, the king said that if you kill him, you can marry his daughter. And she must have been pretty because David said, okay, I'll kill him. I mean, it's comical to think like that, but that's how David said it. Okay, I'll kill him. He didn't run pray about it for 2 months. He didn't go fast for a week. He said, I'll kill him. I'm going to tell you why some of you keep banging your head into the devil. It's because you're just waiting on the right moment to get him out of your life and to get him out of your home. What you need to do is stand up and say, I am who God says I am. Shut up. I'll kill him. And David goes, and Saul says, here, try all this on. David said, I hadn't proved all that mess. And he went and got 5 smooth stones. I know this is just a nice little Bible lesson, but it'll get better, I promise. I hope it does anyway. He went and got 5 smooth stones out of the brook. Now, I've often wondered, why did he get 5? Some people say it stood for J-E-S-U-S, but seeing as how that hadn't been revealed yet, I doubt it. It preaches good, but it just ain't right. But I have read where Goliath had 4 brothers. And David said, if I'm going to get enough bullets for one, I might as well get enough for the rest of them. And you laugh, but David or someone connected to David killed all 4 of Goliath's brothers. Hey, devil. Shut up. Here we go. David gets his rocks. And the Bible said that he didn't tiptoe out there. He didn't sneak out there. He didn't go from tree to tree and rock to rock trying to hide from Goliath. The Bible said he ran to meet him. He's an arrogant little sucker, ain't he? I mean, here he is, a little kid. And this guy's as tall as the back of that door right there. And he runs to meet him. And then Goliath starts talking. He's been talking for 40 days, 2 times a day, and he still can't shut up. He says, do you think I'm a dog? What do you think, that you're going to come up here with rocks and sticks to try to fight me? Look at me, dude. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do to you, David. Now he's talking to David. He's not just talking to Israel. He said, come to me, and I'm going to tear your head off and feed you to the birds, pretty much. He said, I'm going to rip you apart, David. And it's like David doesn't hear it. He said, hey, giant. Actually, he didn't ever even call him a giant. He called him a dirty dog and an uncircumcised Philistine, but he never called him a giant. He said, you dog, this day, not tomorrow, not next Sunday, not next year, this day. Some of you need to quit sparring with the devil and just get him out of your house. Some of you need to quit playing around with him and say, hey, devil, your time's up. Get out of my family. Today. He said, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. And I'm going to smite you and take your head from you. and I'm going to feed the carcasses of the host of Philistines to the fowls of the air. Now that sounds pretty rough. Now I didn't get in many fights when I was in school. I was always overgrown. But the fights I did get in, Brother Dawson, I never remember walking up to those guys and saying, I'm going to smite you. That just isn't fighting words, you know. I mean, I'm gonna deliver you into my name. You don't talk like that when you're fixing a fight. And so, here we go. I went back and broke it down, looked. Because, you know, you just don't fight like that. I mean, he said all those tough things, but it sounds so puny. You're going to spite me. Now, if you tell me I'm going to knock your teeth out, I'm going to step back. Because that's fighting words, you know. If you don't get back, I'm just to punch you right in the face. That's fighting words. Not, I'm going to smite you. Are you scared of that? I'm going to smite you. No, he's not scared. So I broke it down into its roughest translation. And what David told Goliath was, today, the Lord is going to shut you up. Y'all missed it. You've been talking for 40 days, two times a day, and now you've told me what you're going to do to me. But I'm come to tell you today, Goliath, the Lord is going to shut you up. Oh, Holy Ghost. That sounds a little more like fighting. I'm fixing to shut you up. I'm tired of hearing your lip. You ever tell anybody that? I'm tired of hearing your mouth. I'm finna shut you up. I've told somebody that before. Because when you shut somebody up, you remove their influence from this fight. Most folks that are talking before a fight are scared. But you get some idiot that ain't saying nothing, and you better steer clear. I remember a little old guy in our class. He never did say nothing. He didn't talk no smack. But one day in the locker room, some boys got to messing with him, and all he said was, better leave me alone. And they didn't. And when he got through with them, they didn't ever mess with him again. Because you get somebody that's running his mouth, it's because he don't want to fight. David said, today the Lord's going to shut you up. I'm tired of hearing your mouth. And so he put that stone in that sling. It's supposed to get better. Where's the biggest guy in here? Who's the tallest man in here? I don't know. Pick him out. Just some big dude run up here. Hey, come on, you right there. You've been enough. Run! Come on, all the way up here. There you go. Now that's the kind of giant I need. Now watch, you got to get this. David puts that sling, that stone in that sling, and he gives it a whirl, and he turns it loose. And he didn't say, there you go, God, I'll see you tomorrow. The Bible said when he cut it loose, he ran after it. Now watch. And when that stone hit Goliath, the Bible said it smote him in the forehead. Now this is a big old dude. But if I reared back with a rock and hit him in the forehead, inertia and physics say he's going to fall backwards. But the Bible says that when that stone smote Goliath in the forehead, that he fell on his mouth. He didn't fall on his back, but the Bible said he fell on his face. Holy Ghost. I'm not done. Come on. Fall on your face. Watch with me. He fell on that mouth that defied Israel's future and defied David's future and defied what God said he could be. But watch, 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 watch. But that right there is the universal symbol of submission to a king. Goliath, I'm going to be the king because God told me I'm going to be the king. And when God gets through with you, even you'll say, David, you're the king. Thank you, bro. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you. Hey, devil. Shut up. And the Bible says that David stood on his back, pulled Goliath's sword out of his sheath, cut his head off, and he picked up that head and he said, Israel, look, remember that mouth, remember that voice that had you in a cave. Remember that voice that had you scared to death. Look, Israel, the Lord has shut him up. And when Israel saw the voice of the fire silenced, the Bible said they went after the Philistines and they smote them until the next day. I wonder, is there anybody at New Life that wants to get a hold of something and say, devil, shut up. Get out of my family. Get out of my home. Get out of my life. Get off my ministry. I'm going to be what God says I can be. Holy Ghost, get off my family, get off my children, whatever you're telling me is a lie. Shut up, devil, shut up, devil, shut up, devil. Holy Ghost. So what's he been telling you lately? Because if you're listening, he's talking. Why are you trying to do that? Everybody knows you a dope head. What are you trying to go up there and live for God? Shut up, devil. Why are you trying to make your marriage work? Everybody knows it's been a failure. Hey, devil. Shut up. Why you keep praying for those lost kids? They ain't coming back. I've got them. Hey, devil, shut up. Listen to help you. You probably heard this, but you need to hear it again. The book of Job. Satan comes before God. He says, let me at Job. I don't want to mess him up. God said, do whatever you want to. Don't kill him. You never hear or read where Satan ever came to Job. He said, I'm going to take your family. I'm going to take all your stuff. When the devil had permission, he just went and did it. So if he's telling you what he's going to do, if he could do it, he had already done it. Brother Sutton, if he could kill me, he'd have killed me a long time ago.
If he could pull you out of church, he would have never let you in here. Hey, devil, shut up. Come on, somebody. You need to get a praise in your mouth right now and something in your spirit that says, I can have everything God wants me to have. I can be whatever God says I can be. I can be anointed. I can be filled. I can live for God. Hey, devil, shut up. Holy Ghost, come on, I'm done preaching. I want you to run to this altar and get something in your hand and say, devil, I'm tired of listening to your mouth. I'm tired of listening to your junk. I can be whatever God wants me to be. I can live for God. I'm going to make it. My family will be saved. Shut up, devil. On, somebody, I don't want you just to walk up here and say, didn't he preach good, or isn't that a nice thought, but I want something to get down in your spirit that says God is truth and the devil is a liar. God, his word is true and the devil is a liar. Hey, yeah, yeah. Come on, young preachers. I want you to get your hands in the air and say, I can be anointed. Come on, young ladies. Get your hands in the air and say, I can be saved. My family will make sing. I'm going to make it. Devil, you're a liar. Shut up. Get off my family. Get out of my job. I'm going to make it. Everything's going to be all right. If you could do it, you'd already done it. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, somebody. Get that in your spirit. Shut up, devil. I can have the Holy Ghost. I can live for God. I can be delivered from drugs. I can be delivered from alcohol. Shut up, devil. Come on, get your neighbor by the hand and let's worship a little bit. The devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. Hey, shut up, devil. Shut up, devil. Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. Hey. Come on. Come on. I am anointed. I do have the Holy Ghost. I have been delivered. I am set free. Devil, get off me. Get off me. Get off me. Come on, get your hands up. Devil, you're a liar. Devil, you're a liar. Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up.